Welcome to the How Leaders Think podcast, a show that transforms you by renewing your mind and giving you new ways to think. I am your host, Kenny Lang, and with me today is the Kenny Lang? I'm Ron Burgundy. Today is going to be a little bit different. I am going to be your one and only host, guest, like judge, jury, executioner, although maybe not quite so dark. I want to share in a series, and we're going to have a few of these, and I'd love to know what you think, but a series of teachings and episodes that come from a lot of the work that I do with clients. A lot of it you hear come out in the conversations that I have with my wonderful guests, but wanted to do a little something different this year to mix it up. So we're still going to have guests on most weeks. We're just going to have some of these peppered in, and I would love to know what you think. Now, this particular episode is going to be about creating organizational alignment. It's one of the top most requested services, pain points from clients, people I'm working with, from topics I'm asked to speak on. And this video is actually going to coming out of the archives, so to speak. I run an online community leadership group. It's called the Integrated Growth Network. You may not have heard me talk a lot about it since middle, late last year, but we have this great community. I think it's a great place for people to dip their toe in the water. We have a link to it in the show notes. Network.kennylang.com is the place where you can go to find out more. There's a little welcome video to explain in more detail. So this video comes from one of the monthly impact sessions. It's where I'll teach a little bit about the theme of the month, and then we'll have a live Q&A. This particular one was just a teaching, so there's none of the Q&A, but it's got a lot of content that I use when I kick off engagements, a lot of practical steps and tips there. We'll have some links to some of the documents and tools that I mentioned in the episode. So grab those and let me know how I can help or if anything was unclear, but would also love to have you join me and other leaders in the Integrated Growth Network. Starts at $97 a month. I also offer some cohorts and other things in there if you're wanting to step up and have more individualized attention. Otherwise, join the community. We'd love to have you. And now, let's get into it. What I want to talk about today is organizational alignment, and specifically, how do we create clarity around the functions in our organization, and then what each of those seats, each of those positions and roles needs to look like in order for there to be actual alignment, because it doesn't take just an org chart to make that a reality. We've got to go deeper and really create the clarity at the individual person seat level in order for that to come true. I'm going to take you through something that is adjacent to the system and soul framework that I utilize when I teach and I talk and I train companies and teams on this. And it comes from the four stages of psychological safety from Dr. Timothy Clark. So I'm going to share my screen. I want to show you a couple of things that I have found really helpful in mapping to the three levels. But first, I want to talk about how we get to those levels and that seat. Number one is we need to take a little bit of time and really think through what the core functions of our organization or our business are. All right. So as you can see, there's these five core elements. I'll talk about these two last, but commerce, really, that's sales and marketing. I've had some clients and some teams refer to that as the revenue function in the organization. So it is a combined sales and marketing. Capacity is your delivery. It's programs. If you're a nonprofit, it may be service. Some people call that operations, although I think that probably is a term best reserved for the operator and that higher level term. And we can discuss why at a different time. But basically, your ability to deliver on the things the commerce, the sales and marketing teams have piqued interest in and sold, now you got to make good on that. And then capital, and that can be human capital, it can be financial capital, and any other kinds of new buzzwords that come about over the last few years. But you've got to take care of the administrative side of your business, otherwise, and your nonprofit, otherwise, not going to be selling and helping anybody. when we have these three, that's a good place to start. And every organization has them regardless of their tax status. So for-profit, nonprofit, you all have it. Now, up above here is a little bit of a different relationship. So we have the visionary and the operator. Visionary typically is that founder, that CEO, that executive director, president sometimes. It goes by many different titles, but they're the person who has the big ideas. They're the person who has 100 ways that come to them and 100 ideas on how to move the organization forward before lunchtime, and 99 of them are terrible. It's usually that operator that's second in command, and there's some great books that are starting to come out about how do you hire a great second in command. The founder and CEO of VisionSpark not too long ago wrote a book, but he wrote about how do you find and select a great second in command. If you're looking for fractional second in command books, Ben Wolf wrote a great book. It's called Fractional Leadership. But this operator is responsible for creating that bridge between the visionary and the rest of the organization, of taking vision, making it reality. Now, they have mission, they have KPIs, they have responsibilities. I actually don't work in that order. I do mission, responsibilities, then KPIs. Something I dropped in the community was the CAR model document on how do you walk through understanding clarity, autonomy, and results. So often we're trying to hold people accountable for results without having created clarity. And a lot of times autonomy looks more like abdication. And I know that that sounds like a $7 word. Really, all that means is you said, I needed to do this thing. And instead of really guiding them, leading them, managing them appropriately, not micromanaging, but managing them appropriately, you actually were too hands off. I tend to fall into that category as opposed to being a micromanager. But it is our job as leaders to create clarity at the beginning, from the start, and then give autonomy or guided autonomy, as Dr. Clark would say. And then finally, we can hold them accountable for results. These are some sample other responsibilities, but if you're in a leadership position, CAR is something that is vitally important to you, bringing out the best and the most good from your people, not in a manipulative way, but really seeing their capacity and their potential and bringing that more into the day to day, and it'll allow you to do more with less. When we start getting into how do we arrive at all these things, like beyond CAR, how do we decide on what these other responsibilities are? Most systems, other systems, would encourage you to list responsibilities. Most job descriptions have a list of roles and responsibilities day to day. What's it look like in the day of the life of this position? Those are very common, but they're often not anchored by anything. And it's very difficult to understand what winning looks like, both to that person when they accept the position and to you as the leader when you're delegating these responsibilities, because that's really all a growing company is the continuation of delegation. What I want to take some time now to do is take you through this, what Dr. Clark calls the three levels of accountability, which accountability is a chief issue in organizations. There was even some polls that came out from System and Soul about what's the number one issue that you face month over month, year over year as you're planning. And a lot of it is, how do we set up proper accountability? How do I hold my people accountable? So what I want you to see here, you notice outcome, process, task, and the level of autonomy goes up the further away we go. So really the way that this flows, outcome is the mission. What mission are you sending this person on? You sit probably up in this visionary operator seat, you're a senior leader of some sort, probably have your hand in deciding who does what, when, and where in the organization. But that mission really is the outcome. What is the outcome they are meant to drive for the organization? And you can say commerce, well, their mission is to make money. And I get it. Closing deals might be the job of sales. But what if it's about creating attention from our ideal client profile and closing those deals? Suddenly now I have a bit more direction. And then once we get past the outcome, right, the ultimate outcome that we're meant to drive, well, now we get into responsibilities. Okay, so what processes might a person with this outcome, this mission asked of them, what processes might they have ownership of? They're going to be responsible for your go-to-market strategies and probably some of the execution. They're going to be responsible for pipeline design and management from the sales side. They're going to be responsible for marketing campaign design and execution and strategy. There's some pretty big processes, handoff from sales to delivery or programs or whatever it is. If you're in a nonprofit space, you have marketing instead of sales, it's usually called development, but you still have marketing. Is development responsible for creating the annual development plan? For marketing and development might be responsible for three largest annual events and galas and, you know, whatever it is. So those are some things that could be there. Now, someone with this outcome and this mission who has been tasked with these processes that makes sense, if you're going to deliver this outcome, we've got to delegate that authority. If we ask this of somebody, we have got to delegate authority over the processes that it would take to deliver this outcome. Otherwise, you've just handicapped a person in terms of their effectiveness by taking away their ability to effectively achieve this outcome. Which means that they got to come to you like a little kid. Can I do this? Can I do this? Can I do this? Dr. Clark would call that paternalism. Like when we delegate a responsibility, like we give someone respect, but not permission. We're respecting them as a senior leader, but we're not giving them the permissions of a senior leader. We have to give them these processes. Now, as a leader, you're always wondering if I've delegated these things out, if I've said, hey, I'm not the best person to do it. Who is going to look over this? How are we going to define success? How are we going to define winning? How will they know they're doing the right things right? And how will we know they're doing the right things right? So that we don't have to micromanage. And really what we can do is celebrate their successes and coach up any places where they're falling behind. And that's tasks. And those are the KPIs. What I want to do is I want to draw this down here and maybe focus more on this document. You see the definition here, tasks and processes aren't monitored so long as goals are met and results are satisfactory. You can't account for every process and every task necessary to achieve an outcome. And truth be told, that outcome is given so that in the absence of a direct process, proclamation, memo, instruction, this person can still move forward and achieve it. And also expands the possibility for them to be creative. When we look at these, we look at the amount of autonomy, it's guided autonomy. So you give space, but you're still coaching them. You may still check in. You're going to have your regular weekly or monthly meetings. And then what you want is that original contribution that pushes boundaries. Steve Jobs was famous for saying, we don't hire smart people and tell them what to do. We hire smart people so they can tell us what to do. You don't want to be the lid on your organization. So therefore, you delegate some of this out and you're going to end up likely with really innovative ideas that you never would have come up with, or it would have taken you much longer to. At the process level, let's group a lot of these tasks, consistent format structure. They have partial ownership, maybe not total, but partial. And they don't need to make a lot of decisions, but you've set the boundaries, execution successful without any micromanaging. The process is the process. Now, maybe they needed help coming up with it. Maybe you say, we need a documented process for this. We don't want a lot of tribal knowledge. And by that, I mean just knowledge that's only held inside of our heads and our hearts and shared verbally. And then finally, at the task level, these are just singular as simple units of work. So it may be number of phone calls you've made from salespeople. It could be calling leads for a development director or person or professional. They may be calling and following up with their largest donors or potential donors. Autonomy. This is closely monitored through the use of KPIs. And then you want them to have mastery. It's like if we do these things on a regular basis, we know we're likely to end up in success. You can't fully predict it, but if we monitor these things at the right frequency, then we're very likely to end up achieving this high outcome amongst all the other outcomes that we want. And the business or the organization, the nonprofit as a whole will be successful. And that sort of momentum is really addictive, empowering. Momentum, as I heard someone say, when you have momentum, you appear much better, smarter, effective than you actually are. And when you don't have it, it makes you look much worse than you actually are. And this is a great way for you to build that momentum. A friend of mine, Jonathan, likes to say that we should measure habits weekly and outcomes monthly and quarterly. Now, is that a hard and fast rule? Not exactly. But when you do look for KPIs, don't just look at the outcome of the task, look at all the actions. So instead of, again, I'll go with sales and development. Don't look at how many deals did you close? How many donors did you close and the total value of those? Look at how many phone calls they're making on a weekly basis. Now, monthly, quarterly, yeah, you've got some goals that you want to hit in fundraising and sales and closing new deals. Absolutely. But look at how many phone calls, how many emails, how many meetings did they take? Those sorts of things. Fits in the capacity, the service, the programs. How many tasks are past due? How many projects are over budget? We can start to look at a lot of these things that would tell us early on, like we want the smoke detector, right? We, long before, while it's a small fire and it's easily manageable, we don't want to do it when it's too late. It's a little like managing your business or your organization only by a monthly or a quarterly P&L. If that's the first time you're seeing where your finances are headed, it's a little late to do anything about it. Wouldn't you rather know early on that things were going in the right direction or the wrong? So that is how we create organizational alignment, again, regardless of tax status. And that's the only big difference. You have a few different titles, but you have people. And creating alignment and going back to the org chart time and time again has been one of the most critical solutions that I've been able to help people with. And getting that right solves a lot of other smaller problems down the line. This really is the big domino to push over. Thanks so much for joining me today on this new episode. I hope that you enjoyed it. If you didn't, that's okay. Let me know what you would like to be different about it. I really do value your opinion. And I make this podcast for all of the leaders who are on their way, who are trying to change how you lead for the better. But until next time, change the way you think, you'll change the way you lead.